Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. We invite you to join us for worship on Sundays, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. We preach Jesus Christ from all of Scripture. The Bible in the Escondido United Reformed Church is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. And now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
How do you know that you have truly entered the kingdom of God? Maybe you've struggled with that question and aren't quite sure. How do you know that you are truly a Christian? Well, we're going to tackle that today on Abounding Grace Radio as we go back to the Gospel of Luke and look at Jesus' parable of the great invitation for people to come to his great wedding feast. Well, thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. As always, we invite you to visit the website at agradio.org. That website has been updated. All of these programs are there for you to download. We want you to go there, write to us, and there's even a place to support us if you are so desiring to do so. All of your support will go to the cost of the program. Thank you in advance. Well, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable, a very important parable. And I want to begin with something for us to understand and launch into the study of this parable today that happened during Jesus' ministry. At one particular point, infants were being brought to him. Do you remember what happened, dear listener? These infants were brought, they were carried to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. You can picture this. Everyone was coming to Jesus, but these infants, they couldn't come. So the parents were bearing them up and carrying them. And everyone thought, especially the disciples, they can't understand. They're not who the Messiah is interested in. And it's at this point that Jesus says something that I don't think, as a pastor, I have even fully grasped. He said, "Let the infants come to me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. In fact, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." How do you receive the kingdom as an infant? How does an infant take anything? An infant was brought, and Jesus says, unless you receive the kingdom like that, you don't belong to the kingdom of heaven. That should make everyone pause. We have to receive the kingdom like an infant did. And I want you to think about that today on Abounding Grace Radio. We have a parable in front of us that I believe is explaining what it is to enter the kingdom like an infant. And I believe the entire drive of the parable is to have us think about that. How have we entered the kingdom? A great banquet of his kingdom has been spread before you. How are you receiving it so as to enter the kingdom of Christ in a way that pleases him? In verse 1 of Luke chapter 14, Jesus comes to one of the homes of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat. Fascinating, a Pharisee invited him over for dinner. Immediately, you know something is up. You get that with the follow-up, that after it said that Jesus came to this Pharisee's house, we read that they watched him closely. Why? Well, in the next verse, it says there was a man there who was afflicted with some kind of sickness. You realize what just happened. The Pharisees didn't invite these kinds of sick people into their homes. They planted him there. They have invited Jesus and this sick man to their home with the goal of catching Jesus in a trap. The host of this great feast has this feast on the Sabbath. He plants a sick man there to see what Jesus would do and to convict him. Well, Jesus heals this man. asking, of course, the question, is it not lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Well, I want you to notice that not only were they observing him, but he was observing them. In verse 7, it says that he notes that they chose the best places. He had come to this Pharisee's house, and they're watching him, but he's watching them. And what he sees is that all of the rich and the influential of society are sitting there. And then this planted sick man. Jesus says in verse 8, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. Take the lowest, he says. And then he says in verse 12, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors. When you give a feast, invite instead the poor, the maimed, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Why? Well, listen to what he says. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Jesus just exposed their hearts, you see. They were inviting guests for what they could benefit from, status, money, and acceptance. And Jesus is saying, instead, what you should do is invite those who can offer you nothing. That gets to the heart, doesn't it? Well, one of the Pharisees sits there, and he hears these things, and he belts something out in self-righteousness. Well, Jesus, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, I take that statement as some form of challenge to what Jesus had just said. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Whatever he was saying, it seems to be clouding the reality of what Jesus was calling them to do. Well, it's as if Jesus said at this point, who will then eat bread in the kingdom? Let's consider that. You have said, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom. Who do you think is going to eat bread in the kingdom? Who do you think will be there on that day eating on the mountain with God? And so he breaks into this parable. Then he said to them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to go test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore cannot come. So I want you to imagine the scenario here for a minute. This certain man sends out a great invitation. The seal is on it. It's a wonderful invitation. This is a mighty great man. If you look at the parable carefully, what you'll notice is that the invitation went out, and he invited all of these people. But then when the time of the supper actually came, he went out again and said, okay, the supper's ready. Come, for all of it is ready. The custom of the day was a double invitation would go. You would send the initial invitation. The person would accept. And then right before the feast, the announcement would be sent out. Come, it's ready. So initially, they all responded. And at supper time, they were called. Come, for all of this, the feast is ready for you to come. Well, I want you to think about what happens. We know from the previous scene, he is striking at something. The Pharisees had invited society's best, and everyone was concerned about the seats. Well, the implication here is that Jesus is using the example of their feast as a test for how it would hold up to who would enter the kingdom of God. Remember, in other words, somebody just said, well, blessed is he who shall come and eat bread in the kingdom. Okay, so then says Jesus, let's see what your feast would look like in God's kingdom if he followed it your way. The implication is that he went out and this certain man invited all the well-to-do, all the noteworthy people, all the fine, upstanding, moral people. He went out and tried it their way. He handpicked the most moral, the most acceptable people of society who we would know. But what then happened? Well, they all initially accepted the invitation. But verse 18 says, but they all with one accord began to make excuses when the final call came. Listen to the excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. This man had money, and the land, once the time of the feast came, was more of a priority than the feast. Another said, well, I've bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I'm going to go test them. I ask you to have me excused. It gets worse. This rich farmer had more interest in his oxen than coming to the feast. Still another man said, I have a married wife. Therefore, I cannot come. Boy, there's an exciting husband. He's already married. He could take his wife out to the banquet. But he gives the most pathetic excuse. Jesus wants us to see that these excuses are absolutely ridiculous. Look, who buys a piece of ground without seeing it first? How many farmers would spend that kind of money on oxen without first checking to see if they're healthy? And you see, what the parable is exposing is the awful attitude of these kinds of people. There's no real interest in coming to the banquet. Why? That's the million-dollar question. Why? Well, we might expect, what might we expect for the banquet? Well, we might expect at least people be knocking down the door. This is a great banquet. We would expect people anxiously wanting to come in to this great man's feast. Why aren't they coming? Why don't they want to come? Why is everything else more important? Well, dear listener, I want you to think of the scene where Jesus is. He's at a Pharisee's house. What kind of dinner? Maybe this will help you to give you some perspective. I want you to think of a fundraising dinner. What's the problem with fundraising dinners? Well, if it's a worldly fundraising dinner, what's it all about? Name. Who can offer the most? Who has the most money, the most prestige, the most status? And then in turn, who will get the most recognition? I noticed at a major university, they had a donor donate millions and millions of dollars to the college, and their name is now all over everything. You think they're getting the best seat at the next donor dinner? Now here comes this man. Blessed is he who eats bread in the kingdom. Here's the problem. God's kingdom doesn't work on that principle. Do they think God's banquet is for those who come with the most to offer? They've got his kingdom all wrong. Who will eat bread in his kingdom if it operates on the principle of grace? And if that's true, there's no name recognition for those who come because they have nothing to offer. In that kind of situation, what happens to the dinner? It's not a fundraising dinner if there's nothing in it for your own glory. Your name doesn't go on a set of dorm rooms. There's no red carpet. There's no recognition. So what happens? Why go? That's the issue. And that's why the parable says they all made excuses. There was nothing attractive about the dinner. Nothing that drove them to really want to be there. Nothing about that dinner. So they paid lip service that they would come. But when it came down to the time, they never would enter the dining hall. What a sad scene, isn't it? This gracious man, who no one deserved to come to his wonderful feast, had opened up his hall for them. And no one came because no one valued it. I got better things to do. It doesn't offer me anything that I really need. And so in verse 21, the servant comes back to this master and reported it to him. He reported it to the master. Hey, we invited them, but no one came. The master of the house was angry. And he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Where does he go? I want you to go to the alleys, into the streets. I was walking some time ago in the early morning down at the harbor at San Diego, and I couldn't believe how many homeless were out there. They had their little money cans. Same is true in Vancouver, BC. I remember walking there one time and seeing the same thing. People politely asking for money. Their lives were lived right there, whole bunch of them along the path. I want you to imagine this scenario. This would be like a servant walking down there on Saturday morning and saying to all the homeless people, listen, you guys are invited to this great feast of this wonderful man. He'll care for you. He'll provide for you. He'll help you. He'll feed you. He'll give you what you need to clean up. He's got a home for you. Come. You are invited. You are the ones he wants to come to his feast. If you've picked up already, these are the very ones that Jesus mentions back in verse 13 when he's at this Pharisee's house dinner. And he said, you should be inviting those people. Here's the heart of the parable, dear listener. The really powerful thing about this parable is the way the master tells the servant. I want you to think about this. What he tells the servant to go do. If you went to the poor, to the crippled, to the blind, and the lame, what is their major problem? Because that's who the servant went out to. There's no way to get there. I want you to think about this, dear listener. There's no way the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame could get there on their own. So think of the imagery. What poor man even has garments to come to such a banquet? What blind man can see to even find the way? What crippled man can walk to the banquet? And what lame man has the ability? And then you have the problem of convincing these people that you're being sincere, because people like this live in a world of people who pay no attention to them, who don't care about them, who leave them to fend for themselves. And you probably just couldn't persuade them that there's anyone out there who really cares for them. They've been begging all their life. They're alone. But imagine this. The man pulls up down there with his limousine. Here, get into my limousine and fill into it. I'll take you there. That's the heart of the parable. I want you to listen to this, dear listener. Verse 21, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring them in. You know how you could translate that? Carry them. Go and carry them. I love to think about how he emphasizes this. Go carry them in to my feast. And then he drives it home further. And the master said, Master, it's done and there's still room. The master said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. There's more room. This master is so good. There's more room. Go to the highways and the hedgerows and compel. That word for compel is interesting. It's not a word for physical force. It's a word for loving persuasion. Persuade them strongly to come to my feast. Why is Jesus saying this? What do you think would be the struggle for people like this who have no checks to write? I have nothing to offer this gracious host. He can't really want me to come into his feast. In other words, we all know when we go to somebody's home who's invited, we have to bring something. In great contrast to those who said they would come, but saw no real need to come, these really were thrilled to come. Never in a million years would they have dreamed that a man like this would ever want them to come to his feast. Now the parable, dear listener, saying something to us. Oh, Jesus gives his call, doesn't he? Everyone seems to respond to the invitation. But does anyone really come? There are so many who say, oh, we will come. They're all doing fine, though. There really is no need for what this Jesus has to offer. They're rich in themselves. They become wealthy in their own self-confidence. But they don't realize something about themselves. That these rich and well-to-do people who are confident in their own lives before God, they don't realize are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And you see, when he says here, remember the charge of the church against the church in Laodicea? Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's where we get to the real meaning of the parable, dear listener. The kingdom of God had come upon them. God had sent everything anticipated in the Law and the Prophets in the Old Testament. And what was Jesus saying to them the whole time? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus rang out those words. But then we heard the awful truth that many would not come to him that they may have life. And the way they had approached the kingdom of God, what their attitude toward that sick man, as Jesus sat in that Pharisee's house, and they put him up as a trap, as they all sat with the well-to-dos, demonstrated that their whole lives had been a rejection of entering that kingdom. Oh, they would have said, oh, sure, we accept God's invitation to come into his kingdom. But here was the Son of God dining with them, but they would not come to him that they may have life. You understand that? And the Lord is saying, this is the message of the parable. No one would come. No one would come if it were done their way unless Christ came to gather us, to seek and to save that which is lost. Those who would fill the kingdom hall of Lord Jesus Christ are outcasts. Those who would fill the hall don't say, I'll come, but then their hearts are far from him. No, those who fill the hall are those who had been persuaded that God would receive them, messy, broken sinners, and that he had made a place for them, guilty as they are, because unless they had been persuaded in his gracious gospel, in their struggle with their sins and failures, they never would have believed a good man like this would let them in. And with loving persuasion and the gospel love of his Son, he wooed them in. He carried them in, not because they were worthy, but because of the great love with which the Master had to go out into the highways and the byways and bring in the poor, the hurting, the broken, the poor in spirit. In fact, they realized their situation was so desperate, they had to be carried. They had been given sovereign grace. Those who say today that they're cold and naked and miserable and can't get there on their own, Jesus wants you to know this is why he's come. He came to die on the cross and then announce a glorious gospel truth that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those who have come to Christ should know he has a feast prepared for us. And so now Jesus closes the parable, as he typically does, with an open-ended question. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. This is a fascinating statement. If anyone doesn't go to heaven, dear listener, it's not because they were withheld from something they wanted. That is so important. If anyone ends up in hell, it's not because they were withheld from really wanting heaven. No. Jesus's parable shows us that their entire lives were spent in making excuse after excuse after excuse not to come to Jesus. But don't miss what he's saying here. He has spread a table and invited sinners who confess him to turn from their sins and understand how wonderful his grace is. He'll carry you there. He'll bring you there. Do you realize that's what he's shown us? When Jesus said at the beginning, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like an infant shall not enter it. Do you understand now what that means, dear listener? You can't come into the kingdom unless he carries you. And he illustrates that over and over as infants were brought. We must enter the kingdom being carried by him. And as we're being carried, what are we saying? We're saying what Thomas said. We're saying, you know, my Lord and my God. We're understanding, we're professing him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's the story of grace. That's the story of the gospel. Anyone who's in the kingdom, if God had done it our way, And God had used human wisdom, you know, and said, okay, I'm going to go out and invite all the world's best. No one would come because, you see, they don't see Jesus' kingdom as offering anything that they really need. But go out to the poor and the lame and the blind and the needy and those who are sick and those who can't walk, who all represent people broken in their sins. Jesus has a message for you. He's come out to bring you in. And he's going to bring you into his kingdom, anticipating the day when you will eat and drink anew with him in the kingdom. The whole Christian life is put on display for us here. I pray that you refuse not him who speaks. And he has today invited you to his feast. Have you come? You'll know it by how you value a place in his kingdom, his church. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom. Jesus has told us, blessed are the poor in spirit, for it is to those who belong the kingdom of heaven. Abounding Grace Radio, as always, we are so grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You are welcome to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. A brand new, refreshed website where you can download the podcast, you can support us, you can write to us, you can even find a map with a church that teaches these gospel truths in your area. Thanks again for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. You are welcome to join us for worship this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. The web address is escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. Address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.